Hello and welcome to Follow Me and Die. I'm your host, Larry Hamilton, and today, episode 54. It should have been Saturday's Crawl number 8, but this will actually be Monday Madness number 1, where I recap UConn 2018. I'd thought about doing a live cast from UConn for the Saturday's Crawl this week, but that just didn't work out. I was both tired and running around between games and having too much fun. I barely got my Thursday thoughts in before midnight. I think it was before midnight because I got away late from home. I had planned to do the Thursday thoughts before I left, and getting to the con and running into people, and time got away. Today will be a recap of UConn 2018. This year, the restaurant bar in the lobby of the hotel was not as packed as past years. The con itself was well attended. There were three other cons this weekend. The two closest in neighboring states were Gamehole Con in Madison, Wisconsin, and Con on the Cob in Ohio, both well attended with OSR tracks. Of course, Gamehole Con is the more well-known. And there was also PAX Unplugged in Pennsylvania. Now, the funny thing is, I got busy and sidetracked, and I never got around to signing up to play games before the con, so I got an all-access pass so I could just slip into any game with an open slot. I saw lots of old friends and made new friends, several I knew from online and met them face-to-face, and, of course, made more friends. Thursday night, before the con started, I ran into a couple of friends at the bar and made a new friend, and the four of us played my card game. They liked it, and they even had some suggestions for improving a two-player game. One of the players, she said that she and her fiancé play a lot of games together, and any card game that works well as a two-player game, they'll definitely buy. So that was very encouraging. A friend of mine, Clayton Williams, he and his wife and a friend, Paul, played the first two games of my card game at GaryCon, and they saw it before the last major rough edge was worked off. So we sat down one night and did a two-player game, and he saw the current form of the game, and he could immediately tell the difference and really liked it. So that was very encouraging. Of course, people are asking me when to put it out. One of the people I played with Thursday night is in marketing and said, well, you really should start talking about the name of the game. And it's like, well, I'm hemming and hawing about that, but part of that's the building suspense for the big reveal, because I think that'll have a little bit more impact. Part of that's just me being, I guess, a little imposter syndrome, plus my weird sense of humor and the way I think about things. I think it will work better to wait, but I guess we'll see. On to the games and fun stuff. Friday morning, I ran my Gamma World scenario, Vault of the Ancients, at 9 a.m., and I had a sold-out table for 8 players, but for some reason, one of them never showed. But last year at that time slot, I had Metamorphosis Alpha scenario ready to go, but only one player showed up, and he decided he didn't want to try to do the scenario solo, so he went to another game. But the Gamma World crew had a blast, they really enjoyed it. And unfortunately, I forgot to get a picture of the table during play. I always like to get a picture of the games I run to remind me of who was there and so forth. That afternoon, Friday afternoon, I ran my DCC funnel amongst the fungus for the first time at a con. I had playtested it with one player on Roll20 a few months back. And we had 6 players, and they had a blast, and they liked the weirdness of the scenario. Kind of freaked them out in some of the things, which that was cool. I love that. And Friday I was up pretty late, and about 1:30 I got to bed. I didn't sleep well Thursday night for some reason, and so I was really exhausted. I didn't have a game Saturday morning, so I slept in, and then took my time to review things for my Boot Hill game. Since I hadn't played in at least 35 years, I was a little fuzzy. It's not hard. It's just trying to get things straight in my mind and make sure I was ready for my scenario. Saturday afternoon, I ran my DCC funnel again amongst the fungus. There were 5 players, and they also enjoyed it. And I really love how it was totally different the way it ended, or they got to the ending, between the playtest and each con game. I really love that about running the same scenario more than once, is a different group of players encountering the scenario latch on to totally different things and have a totally different approach to the situation. Another thing I do to make the DCC more interesting, and I've done that with a Delving Deeper scenario, is I used a table of 200 items from Doug Kovacs that Doug Kovacs and Adam Miscavige and some other DCC Game Masters use, and it's up to the players to decide what these items do or could be used for. And for some of these items, it end up just being a role-playing device, and for others, they might help advance the adventure or solve problems along the way. It's all up to the players to be creative, use their imaginations, and actually think about using this item. Some players never even think twice about the item that they have. So then Saturday evening, I ran my Boot Hill 2nd Edition game. When One Bookshelf released the PDF for that, I snatched that up right away and ordered a print copy because I lost my original way back when in a water leak accident. And so I ran my scenario in Boot Hill 2E, a posse for the school marm. I had 6 players. They were ready for the game. And all of them except one, a young woman, had played before. The young woman, I think her name was Laura, was so excited to play that she bought the PDF from One Bookshelf, printed it off, read the rules, and generated a character. And she had read the rules and understood them and was so eager, she was looking up things as part of our pregame prep before I could get to them. I had pre-gens, but gave her the choice to either use one of my pre-gens or her self-made character, and she chose her self-made character, and that was just great. And the players accomplished their goals, and they ended up with a lot of money and decided to pool it and buy a ranch. And because they had so much fun, they asked if I would run a game next year to find out what happens to the cattle ranch. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is great. Because I've always had players like the games I run, but this is the first time that they have asked for a sequel. So I'm really pumped about that idea, and I'm definitely starting to think about how that sequel, what's going on with the ranch, might work out. So I think I'm going to run Boot Hill at GaryCon, and I may even run it at Marmalade Dog. I had a lot of fun with that. And so that was the end of running the games I prepared. So Sunday morning, I finally played in an RPG session, and it was my first game in the Contessa track. 2 years ago, Stacy Delorfano was the UConn special guest, and I happened to already be at the hotel Thursday night, and because I know a couple of guys on the UConn staff, they asked if I could help give guests a ride to the welcome dinner they have for guests. And my younger son happened to be with me, and so we gave Stacy a ride to the restaurant and got a great meal, and so she remembered me when we ran into each other sometime between games. The game that I played in, Stacy played in because she was already done running games, and this game was run by Emily Danvers, and it happens to be a game that they're working on, and I found out that Contessa is planning to open a publishing arm to help new authors get their name on a published item to help get them a leg up for perhaps larger publishers. The game I played is an OSR-based system with the standard 6 abilities, but they renamed Wisdom to Spirit, and it has a werewolf theme where the players are all werewolves in addition to whatever the classes they have. So it's not a straight BX game, but it's got an obvious base with the standard 6 abilities and the dice mechanics. The character generation was easy because we each got a note card with the name of our class and the abilities that had positive bonuses. And so the abilities not listed were a +0. So very quick, very simple. Each class also had a couple of skills they could use, like hacking or healing or combat. Also one skill that they could use to give another player advantage. There was also a rage track, or a tracker, where if you failed something miserably, you had to roll a DC to see if you lost control and became a wolf. And to start out, the difficulty was 2, but each time you had to do another check, it went up. And really challenging things would cause the DC to go up before you roll your check. Then we also got to pick from a group of cards one personality trait, and another group of cards 2 background cards. My character was a spiritualist with an anxious personality and was a conspiracy theorist, and I think the other background was spiritualist. But a spiritualist in this game can identify paranormal non-human things and communicate with the magical overlay on the World Wide Web. So that's why I chose that class. We had a great time. There was lots of laughter. One round of play, everybody was rolling ones for everything, which was hilarious how poorly we were rolling. One of those was, for me, I rolled a 1 on my rage check and had become a wolf. And this was during an encounter with a possessed Whirly theme park ride. And I was trying to communicate with the spirit and in wolf form. Well, how are you going to do that? I said, well, I go chomp on it. So here I am hanging on the end of this chain like a dog that you pick up on a rope with a tug of war. And it was just, the imagery was hilarious. I know some people have a low opinion of Contessa. I'm not going to go into that, but I may have been the only straight guy there. I guess the term to describe me would be cis, and I was definitely the oldest. And I think some of them who didn't know me maybe were a little skeptical of my presence until we got into the game and saw that I was just there to have fun and play a game, which for me, hey, it's a game. Let's have fun. It was the first time I'd ever played in a game that uses the X card. I understand it better, but not so that I could explain it properly, but I'm not going to go in depth on that. But it was an interesting mechanic. I thought it was well thought out. It worked well. It was basically simple mechanics that were a structure to the role play. Very simple, very fast, very light. It relies on the players to have buy-in and be creative and understand what, you know, they can try anything that they can think of, and that the mechanics will help determine success. And it was no rolling on the part of the game master. It was all our abilities to resist and save and whatnot. And I thought it went well. The people were welcoming and accepting. They didn't make me feel unwelcome. They were there to play a game. So there's always people in every group that can be stinkers, and I didn't run into any stinkers. So I don't know why some people have a problem with it, but it was fine. No problems. So over the course of the con, I caught up with several friends, and I can't remember what days I spoke with each person because it's just kind of a blur because I'm tired and busy and running around. But it turns out, a lot of people probably don't know this, but Don Stroud, who you may know that name, who authored the adventure Dead Planet for the Mothership game, UConn is his local con because he only lives a few miles away from the venue. And so I got to visiting with Don, and he had several copies with one of the vendors. So I ran to the vendor hall and got Mothership and Dead Planet, and he signed them for me. I haven't had a chance to really read them, just kind of flip through them a little bit. And Don, of course, is working on more adventures for the Mothership game. And then Don flattered me by telling me he had gotten my PDFs from DriveThruRPG and liked them. So, oh my gosh, it's just really cool when people like your stuff, especially somebody who's got some great success going right now. Also, Adam and Katie Miscavige and their son Stanley were there. Adam and Don were talking a bit, and they did mention that they have several episodes recorded of their Drink Spin Run podcast and may release them, but life gets in the way, so that's why they haven't released one for a while. And also why they haven't recorded any new episodes. It's not that they're done or quit. It's just life is busy. Another guest was Brendan LaSalle with Goodman Games. He was there to run his X-Crawl and lots of DCC. My schedule didn't match up with his until Sunday afternoon for the last slot. But he was running a scenario he ran at UConn 2 years ago that I played. So I couldn't play in this one. But we did catch up a bit between games. He's a good guy. And I also ran into BJ Hensley and got to talk with her briefly. She was another one of the special guests. I met her at GaryCon 10 earlier this year and visited a little bit. Shared with her at GaryCon 10 that I really enjoyed the interview she did on Satine Phoenix Game Master Tips show on Geek and Sundry. And then one of the vendors that I know, John Raced, he had something come up at the last minute and had to cancel, so the small vendor room was a bit less crowded than in past years. And I kind of looked around the vendor hall and I restrained myself, but I did buy, as I mentioned, the Mothership scenario and game that Don was involved with. And overall, I had a great time. I'm tired. I'm starting to think about what's next, which is submitting games for Marmalade Dog, the local convention here in Kalamazoo, before December 31st, so I can get a free Game Master t-shirt. The thing about Marmalade Dog, Game Masters get in free every day they run a game, so I'll put in a game for each day. I also need to finish getting my Garrycon submissions in. I think I'm going to be running my Boot Hill scenario there. That went over really well. Not a lot of people playing that. And I just want to end by saying, if you've never been to a convention, I really recommend it. And if you can, find a small local convention and just keep in mind it may not be an example of a great convention, but they're definitely more affordable and they give you an opportunity to play with new people and new game masters and new game systems or old game systems that you've heard about and want to try or you played back in the day. And if you like board games, you can get your fill of them at conventions. And you might even be able to find some guy like me who play tests a card game that they're wanting to kickstart. So you might get in on something new and get a little playtester credit. Conventions are a blast. They're exhausting. So try to get rested up before you go. Take zinc and echinacea because con crud's a thing. Wash your hands. Don't touch the handle going out of the men's room. You shouldn't ever do that anyway because the morons that don't wash their hands after going to the bathroom, hand sanitizer and all the whole nine yards. That's the best way to avoid con crud. Of course, I come home and my poor little granddaughter is sick, coughing, and she sounds like she's got a big old frog in her throat. And it's like, well, great. So I'm a little run down, so hopefully I don't end up like her. If that happens, there will be a hiatus in future episodes until I get my voice back, et cetera, et cetera. I'm hoping that doesn't happen, but just a little FYI, just in case. Well, thank you all very much for listening. I hope you're having a great day, and game on.
And here's the end blurb. You can find Follow Me and Die at my blog, followmeanddie.com, here on Anchor and the other places where my podcast is syndicated, Follow Me and Die on YouTube, and you can find me on various sites where you see my social media avatar by the amazing Satine Phoenix. I have a social page on my blog that directs to all of my various social media. To get more of my thoughts and opinions in the realm of RPGs and games, check out my other sites. I also contribute to Multiverse.World by the new TSR. If you like the podcast and the other things I share online, there are a few ways you can support my efforts. First, tell me and tell others. Just getting the word out is important. Consider backing me on my Patreon. Patrons get a vote on what PDF I publish next on One Bookshelf. You can check out my growing list of PDFs at either DriveThruRPG or RPG Now. And if you like what you see, please let me know. And if there's something that doesn't quite suit you, please let me know. Constructive criticism is very important for those of us who publish our own PDFs. I also have a Teespring store where you can get a shirt with my logo, the same one by Satine Phoenix. Thanks for listening. And game on.